The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Again last week, and I need to step down once again because I have left something right here that needs to come with me. That's my glasses. I can see spiritually, but I just can't see physically. So we have began a series several weeks ago, and part of the ancient gospel mystery, and I entitled the series "Something Worth Living," something living for something worth dying for. Who's saying that? See, I appreciate the help. as a text for our series, I'm using another book of Philippians. It's a little long, but I think it's good to read the whole passage. Chapter 1, verse 20. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Father, we thank you for your word. It is indeed meat and drink to us. Cause your word to resonate in our hearts and in our spirits this morning as we study, and teach us the things that we need to know. Not that we might be academically bright, but that we might radiate with the Word of God living within us, teaching us the things that we need to know in order to serve you better. And we thank you, Father, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. I've been speaking over the last 2 weeks by way of introduction that the gospel, this good news, is more than just the first four books of the Bible. You know, you see the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you think that's the gospel. That's the history of what Jesus did. But as I explained to you in the first sermon, that the gospel really is Christ. It's about Him. He is everything for everyone. I'd encourage you, if you weren't here, to you can pick up the CDs in the back, they're free of charge, or you can go to our website and download them and listen to them, all right? So what I'm attempting to do is, 2 weeks ago I brought to you a sermon and called "What is the Revelation?" And we defined it, this ancient gospel. Last week we spoke about why we must believe the true gospel, not just a gospel, but the true gospel. And then this week we're going to carry on with the sermon series, and the sermon today is, why must we spread the gospel? Why must we spread it? And this is an unusual passage of Scripture for this topic, but I believe you'll see why I chose it in just a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Now, when I went to Troas, this is Paul speaking, all right? Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened the door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spread everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. There's nothing more urgent in the kingdom of God and in the local church that needs to be accomplished than to spread the gospel. I've got a short video I want you to see about one of the easy ways of bringing the gospel to the world. And I want you to see this video.
Ten times? Some say it takes as many as 40 times. Whatever the number, how many times does someone need to hear the gospel before they believe in Jesus? Once? 10 times? Some say it takes as many as 40 times. Whatever the number, every time they hear the story, it makes an impact. Every cup of coffee matters. Each conversation is significant, whether it's the first, or the 10th, or the 40th. Maybe this won't be the moment they choose to trust Him. That's okay. Just pour another cup. Tell the story again. And be glad for the people who told you the story of Jesus and then told you one more time.
Amen. Amen. I love that. Very simple, to the point. Most of the people that get one to the Lord are never one to the Lord in church. Believe it or not, it's over a cup of coffee, a pizza, a day at the beach, the regular walks of life in an office, where you, as the light of the world, bring this gospel to those people who need it. And that's our responsibility. And the church must center around this mission. It must center around this mission. We have a mission, a commission from God to go into the whole world and to bring this good news. You know, I appreciate Dennis this morning in one of the song sessions that he had when he spoke about the song, spoke about this outrageous grace that is so great that it can save anyone. I heard, I believe it was Dr. Dobson. If it wasn't, he gets the credit for saying it anyway. But that it just made him angry that God would save anyone. So when you think of some of the people in this world who've done such horrendous things, such terrible things, and yet God has such mercy that if anyone will call out to Him, they can find this new life, this eternal life. And he said it's just aggravating. You know, he said some of these people deserve to go to hell, you know, for what they've done. But God doesn't look at it with that perspective. With the human mind, you would say that. But with God's outrageous grace, it's a totally different story. In the church, there needs to be something that I believe is totally lacking. And it's very interesting that this morning the words, the prophetic words that came forth, spoke about this very subject of a sense of urgency. There needs to be a sense of urgency about spreading the gospel. People say all the time, are we in the end days? Is this the last time? Is this it? Is history and the age of the gospel ending? I can't answer that in totality, but I can tell you this. It's closer now than it ever was before. Closer now than it ever was before. And the people that you know, regardless of whether the Lord comes back in a day, or 100 days, or 1,000 years from now, the person that you know that needs to hear the gospel is closer now to eternity than they ever were before, just as you are in this room. We're all closer than we ever were before. So there needs to be a sense of urgency about it. You need to see the fact that time is marching on, to use that old cliche. That loud ticking sound you hear is life moving on. And so we need to have a sense of urgency to proclaim this gospel. The other thing that we need to do is we need to be passionate about it. When's the last time you were passionate about the gospel? We get passionate about stuff all the time. You know, things that we want. You know, it always amazes me that something that you want, you're so passionate about it until you actually achieve it. You know, whether it's an education, whether it's a new thing, a new trinket, a new house, a new car. I was going to say a new wife, but I wasn't going to say a new girlfriend or a new boyfriend. No new wives. Okay, that's over with. The one you got is the one you keep. All right. Same for you husbands. All right. But to have a sense of passion about it. You know that you're urgent and it burns within you. It was Jeremiah, the prophet of old, said that one time that he just decided he was just going to shut up about the gospel. He wasn't going to say another word. That was it. He had had enough. And he said that he couldn't keep it contained within him, that it burned within him. Let me ask you a question. Does the gospel of Christ burn within you? I mean, do you feel that sense of urgency and that passion to tell someone about Christ? And sometimes you'll say, yeah, I feel that way, but I'm afraid. Well, who gave you a spirit of fear? Was it God? Certainly not the Lord. Certainly would be the enemy. But if you care about people and love people, you should have a passion about it. There needs to be a deliberate plan to bring this gospel to the world. And I'm so excited about what we're doing through our new internet church, where we will be bringing the gospel to the world. Jim told me something this past week. It just blows my mind every time I hear these numbers. He talked last week about the millions that are being saved through Campus Crusade. I found out that last week we had more people go to our little old website that's under development. Matt's going to get it done real, real quick. You know, because we need it bad. We need the new one bad. How do you like that commercial right here in front of everybody? But our website right now that is old as the hills and it's just not contemporary at all, we had more people last week went to our website and listened to and downloaded sermons from our website than we did in the whole previous year. We had, I believe it was 117 people listen to it and about 115 downloaded. That's incredible. I mean, we've got 35 people here, you know. So I really, just reinforces to me that we're on the right track, that people are listening to this glorious gospel of Christ, all right? So they're at the right place at the right time. There was a man by the name of Dawson Trotman. Some of you heard me mention his name before. He was a man who founded the Navigators, which is an international organization that reaches out to military and business people and college campuses. He told a story that he was invited to be the guest speaker and to do some teaching for a group of young people who were getting ready to leave on a mission trip to a foreign country. And he said that he asked each one of them this question. He said, how many people have you won to Christ? And how many people are you currently discipling in Christ? And the whole group, the answer was none. And he chided them and said, you're willing to sell everything to prepare yourself to leave America, to go to a land where people won't know you, will speak a different language, will be suspicious of you, and you're going to bring the gospel to them, and you won't do it right here. And boy, I've heard that story years and years and years and years ago, probably 25 years ago. But it still resonates within me that although the world is important, our neighbors are important, our children, our brothers and sisters, our moms and dads, our little six-year-old nephew that Aaron spoke about earlier, of bringing this good news to them. And it's that little video that we showed said, how often do you do it? How many times? When do you throw in the towel and quit? Never. Never. You just keep doing it. Well, what if they get angry with you? Let them get angry. If you win them to the Lord, they'll be sorry and have confessed and ask you forgiveness for being so angry with you. And if not, what awaits them is so horrific, and they'll remember that they did have an opportunity, that they didn't step into eternity without knowing. Without knowing. So, we need to be aware of how important this gospel is. So why do we Why are we mandated to do it? Why must we do it? Why is it something we don't get an option with, all right? And I want to talk about just several things about that. And the first thing is that it's God's desire. It's God's desire for you to tell the story of Christ. That's what He wants you to do. Let's go back and look in a little bit more detail in the Scripture that we just looked at in our text. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that, I want you to notice this, the Lord had opened the door for me. I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Our Father demonstrated His love for you and for this world when He gave His only Son. And He has not changed His mind since that day. It's still on His heart that people might come to know His Son. You know, I think sometimes we need to strip away our theology and get to a place of realism. When we think about God, you know, we think of Him as being, the great creator of the universe. And what could hurt God? What could make Him upset? What could make Him have a bad day? Does He ever have any bad days? You know, and when we think about Him like that, when I tell you that God loves the world and cares about it, it'll never get through to you. But you have to see a God who cares. You know, we're built in the image of God. We're created in God's image. And don't you care? Don't you care about things? Don't you care about people? Don't you care about your family? Don't you care about your husband, your wife, your children, your mom, your dad, and brothers? Don't you care about them? But just magnify that caring of yours by infinity. And you'll get some idea how much God cares. I've heard people say many times that they would give their life for someone, but they'd never give their children. I've never had the trauma of losing a child. Some in this room have. And they will tell you, that pain never goes away. It's always there. Yeah, you go on with life. You learn to laugh at things and you learn to have another day. But when you lose a child, it affects you forever. I believe that that same feeling that we experience when we lose someone is in the heart of God today. I believe He still feels it. I think He still knows about it. I think He still remembers it. I think He's still grateful that His Son was willing to do that. And He cares so much about us that He put Himself through what He put Himself through at Calvary to demonstrate His love. We take it so carelessly. When we talk about God's love, oh, yeah, God loves. Well, yeah, that's His job. You know, it's just like it's my job to be a pastor. It's my job to do stuff, you know. You're the pastor, you're supposed to do that stuff. Well, you missed the whole point when you talk about God loving. God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son. That if you would believe in Him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. That was His plan from the very beginning, to demonstrate His love. That He cares that much. Isn't it one of the things and one of the ways that we can grieve God is to not do what's most on His heart? You want to know what's on God's heart? It's His Son. And it's you. The loss of His Son for what He went through and the desire of His heart to bring you into the kingdom. And everyone you know, and all those that you don't know. It's His heart's desire to do that. He loves so very much the ungodly that he gave his only son to do that. It's got to get real to you. Some kind of way, it's got to break through the coarseness of our life to come to that place of understanding that it's God's desire to do that. It's on his mind day and night. That's what he wants to do. In fact, Peter wrote in 2 Peter, he said, God's not willing that any should perish. In other words, God doesn't want anyone to perish, that all should come to repentance. That's his heart's desire that that would take place. He proved his love at Calvary. You know, it says in the scriptures that God demonstrated his love. He showed it. That while we were still in our sins, Christ died for us. Not when you looked all pretty like you do on Sunday morning. Not when you got all the religious rhetoric that we use now, and we know all the fancy words and all the church words, and we've been educated in churchdom. But when you were unlovely and living in your own sinful life, God loved you so much that he sent somebody to you with that gospel that you might believe it and that you might be born again into the kingdom. God moved heaven and earth for you. And God wants to move heaven and earth for the people that you know. That still, he has his heart's desire. The text shows here that God opened doors. God opened doors. You might wonder sometimes, how can I ever get through to my kids? How can I always ever get through to my neighbor? How can I get through to my husband, my wife? How can I ever get through to them with this gospel? Well, like that little video showed, who knows that the next cup of coffee might be it? Who knows? I remember when I was working many years ago as a new Christian, and I had, changed my ways and was trying to live a Christian life. And all my fellow employees, I would tell them about Christ. I'd just do it. I didn't care whether they didn't like me or not. I just didn't care. I just would tell them. And I got more bad reaction than you can get from a bad vaccination against the N1H1 flu bug or whatever. I don't know. But I mean, I just was getting nowhere. I was getting nowhere. Many times I'd go in my office and I'd close the door and I'd say, Lord, what's the point? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. And I remember I got in, because I still had a little bit of the old flesh around me, I had a boss who was a vice president of the company who was a really not a nice person. I mean, just not a nice person. And he used to really berate the employees all the time, and we all just kind of put up with it. And one day we were finishing up our lunch break, and we were sitting around, it's about 7 or 8 of us, and he came in and just really berated everybody. What are y'all doing? Wasting time. I'm paying a payroll here. Y'all sitting around here drinking coffee, eating lunch. Y'all get back to work. It just was just really ugly as can be. Well, I had my fill. And I forgot I was a Christian for just a little while. And I stood up and I told him all. And I told him what I thought of him. How useless he was and the way he treated people. He, you know, that he had to find a new way of living. I was really, really ugly to him. And he was so stunned that he turned around and he walked out of the office. And all my fellow employees all clapped their hands and said, it's about time somebody told that SOB off. And they were so proud of it. And I was kind of proud of myself, to tell you the truth. And so we all went to our office, and I got in my office and I closed the door. And Holy Spirit said, Old Morris. And I know when he calls me Old Morris, that I'm in trouble. And then called me son. He's called Old Morris. He said, I want you to go apologize to that guy for what you did. I said, Lord, I don't want to do that. He deserved it. He said, I want you to go. You know, you have had these dialogues with God. So I said, all right, I'll do it. So I went into his office, and he was sitting at his desk. And now, this is only 5 minutes since the incident occurred. And I walked in there, and I said, I want to apologize for what I said to you. I said, you know, I'm a new Christian, and that I'm learning about things. And God told me that he put you over me as authority over me, and that I need to submit to that authority. And I was wrong to say the things to you that I did. I want you to know that I'll never do that again. And I just ask you to forgive me for doing that. He looked at me like he'd never heard that before in his life, which he probably never had. And he just kind of looked at me and said, just grumbled at me. He just kind of waved his hand, so I figured it was time to leave. So I walked out, and I was so excited, you know, that I'd done what God had called me to do. And I'm walking back to my office, and I just was really pumped up. And God said, all right, get the rest of them together and tell them the same thing. I said, oh, God, you wouldn't make me do that. And I heard that old Morris again. Sure enough, I got my fellow employees, and I gathered them together. They didn't know what I wanted. And I told them exactly what I told him, how wrong I was. Boy, just, man, this guy's weirder. You know, just one of the weirdest people I ever met. Well, I want you to know that because of that incident, about 5 years later, that vice president, I got to lead him to the Lord. Got to pray with him and receive Christ into his life. And some of you have heard this story before know that he was with me the day that I was in that boating accident and lost my arm on a fishing trip. And that today, that man is in heaven. So he died about 2 or 3 years after I was in that boating accident. He's in heaven. I want you to know those other guys, almost one by one, through the next year or so that I worked there, they would come and knock on my door and say, Morris, can I talk to you about something? And they'd close the door. They'd tell me about the things that were going wrong in their life and how they needed help. And I would share the gospel of Christ with them. You see? God cared enough about them. He didn't mind embarrassing me, making me look like a fool. You know, I looked like a fool. I felt like a fool. But God used it for his glory. It wasn't the first time I told them. It wasn't the second, the third, the fourth, I don't know how many times that I got to tell people about it. But at the right time, in God's divine plan, some of those men came to know Christ. See, God, you don't have to be the smartest guy in Christianity. You just have to have a heart like God and have the heart of God. It's the greatest love story ever told, and we have a responsibility to the heart of God to do something about it. Amen? All right. There's another reason that I want to talk to you about why we must spread this gospel. And it's that Christ in you yearns to tell the story. Christ in you yearns to tell a story. Let's look at verses 15 and 16 of that passage. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. The Son of God's existence in the incarnation proves his desire to save the perishing. It proves his desire. When you see the light, when you share the light, you can see what happens, that great light. It says that Christ was the light that came into the world, and the darkness could not overpower it. Could not stop it. You know, one little light can't be stopped by the darkness. And even the light that's within you, you are the light of the world. And Christ resonates within you. And Christ wants to share himself with others. He yearns to do that. The Holy Spirit was sent to reside within you to say you could go out and testify about what Christ had done. That's what he said. He said, I will send the Comforter who will remind you of all the things that I did that you might share them with others. It's his heart's desire. Christ in you is the hope of all mankind. Let me tell you what. This world has no hope outside of Jesus Christ. There is no hope. There's no philosophy. There's no way of life. There's not enough riches. There's not enough. People can't suffer enough or do enough in order to earn their way into heaven. The only way into heaven is through Jesus Christ. Now, as I've said before from this pulpit, I've been told that I was narrow-minded believing that. And I always proclaim that I am not narrow-minded. Jesus is narrow-minded. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. All I do is testify about what he said. You know, sometimes when you do something for someone in life, You may not do it expecting anything back, but you would appreciate a little appreciation. Isn't that the truth? Yeah. I mean, if you do something nice, you expect somebody to be nice. We gave a little gift to Jim. I expect him to be nicer to me now. You know, I want him to appreciate what we did. And I really want his wife to appreciate because he didn't have to go buy one that I knew he wanted. You know, I want to be appreciated for the things that I do. Well, just magnify that by infinity and how much does Christ want you to appreciate what he did. He doesn't force you to obey the law because you're not under the law anymore. He doesn't put hard rules and regulations on you, but he just appreciates a little appreciation. It's his heart's desire for people to come to know Christ. This is a beautiful imagery that Paul selected to help us understand the Christ in us wanting to reach out to the world. The Roman generals, when they had been on a campaign and they returned to their Rome or to whatever city that they had come from, they'd always have a great parade. And the generals would be in all their pomp and ceremony. And those of you who have seen enough movies that Hollywood has put together kind of have a mental picture of what that might be like. And two things that they did is they had incense that they would burn as they went along their parade route. And they also had flowers. And they would put flowers all over the roadway where the triumphant people would march. And you can only imagine the sweet fragrance of that incense and those flowers that were there. The victors inhaling the fragrance of victory, reminding them that the generals had been to war and had come back victorious. But there was another group of people in that parade, and it was the prisoners that they had brought back from their campaign. They didn't look quite so good. They weren't dressed in all the pomp and ceremony that they might have. But the way they would do is they took prisoners, and as ungodly as it seems, they'd put a hook in their jaw and put a chain or a rope, and they would attach it to the buttocks of the person in front of them. And they would make them march in line. You can imagine the pain and discomfort of all that. And they smelled the same thing that the victors smelled. But they knew it was the aroma of imprisonment, slavery, and death. That's the picture that Paul was painting for us when he talks about this triumphant procession that marched by and the fragrance of it all. To some, life, and to others, death. Christ in you radiates that fragrance. To the believers, you're absolutely irresistible. You're like perfume in the air. And how many times have you run across people, you met them for the very first time, and what a joy after just a moment of a conversation, you realize that person's a believer. You know, something they say, something they did, something about their manner of life just spoke to you, and you'll find yourself saying, we usually break the conversation very easily. Now, where do you go to church? You know, and they say, you're a believer too, and you have that great moment of fellowship. You know, some of you are our guests who have come in for the first time and we've met you for the first time. And we have that fragrance about you that just radiates. And we know that you're a believer. But that same fragrance, when you meet an unbeliever, testifies to their impending death. That's why many times when you talk to people and you mention Christ, and they like this video showed, guys, not interested. Close the door. Get out of here. I don't want to hear that. I don't want any part of it. Because it's the Christ in you that they reject. You know, if you'll ever learn what I'm about to tell you right now, take it to heart. It'll really help you to share the gospel. People don't reject you. They reject Christ. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's about Him for salvation and Him for rejection. If people believe the Christ in you and the story of the gospel that you share, they will have to give up what they're holding on to, and that's their life as it exists. And sadly, for most people, and I guess for most of you in this room, I know well enough to say, you didn't come to Christ because you were doing so good. I see all those heads shaking and bobbing. It wasn't your best day when you found Christ. probably your worst day you were going through. But you reached a point where you were at the desperation of your life and you needed something, and you knew you needed something. And somebody who cared about you and the Christ in them shared that old gospel story, and you found out that all you had to do was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you would be saved. And here you are today because of that. Christ in you is at work, even when you don't realize it. Paul said it this way. He said, we are living letters, and people read our lives. You are being read day by day. If you have children, your children are reading you. If you have brothers and sisters, your brothers and sisters are reading you. If you have parents, your parents are reading you. Your friends, your neighbors, they're reading your life. A good friend of mine said one time, he said, Morris, you know, people are reading our lives and praying, begging that you won't fail because you're the only hope they got. And if you fail, what hope is there for them? Interesting thought, isn't it? Interesting thought. If Christ in you cannot sustain you, there's no hope for anyone else. That's why we need to get away from this phony baloney gospel we've heard so often about doing our works and doing the right thing and doing the wrong thing. No, we're saved by God's grace and His grace alone. My good friend who's now with the Lord, Bud Pomez, and many of you in this room know Bud. He was part of this fellowship. He used to say all the time, the reason that people listen to me about when I talk the gospel to them, he said, because I haven't got my act together yet. You know, I still got flaws. I still mess up. I still don't do things right all the time. But they know that there's something about me that keeps me going that they don't have. And it's that Christ in him, in Bud Gomez. And Bud is now with the Lord today. The way you live your life speaks volumes to people who are watching you. Your neighbor knows. Your schoolmates know. People on the job know. And they're all looking. And they're all looking. And they're praying. I believe they're praying. I believe that friend of mine was right. They're all praying that you won't fail. Because if you fail, there's no hope for them. And at the right time, over the third, fourth, fifth, 40th cup of coffee, or lunch break, or whatever it may be, at the right time when their life is at disaster's end, they will come to you and say, what must I do to be saved? And the Christ in you goes, yes! Yes! One more soul into the kingdom. The last thing I want to talk about this morning is the world needs you to tell the story. It needs you to tell the story. I want to go back to verses 16 and 17, but instead of the New American Standard, the New International Version, I want you to see this in the Message, because I just think the Message translation says it so well. This is a terrific responsibility. Is anyone competent to take it on? No. But at least we don't take God's Word, water it down, and then take it to the streets to sell it cheap. We stand in Christ's presence when we speak. God looks us in the face. We get what we say straight from God and say it as honestly as we can. Isn't that an awesome way? That's what the world needs to hear. Is anyone competent for this job? No. Do you always have the right words? No. Do you always know what to say? No. But God, you get these words directly from God, then the Holy Spirit will speak through you. I am telling you by my own experience, I've been amazed that sometimes I'll be talking to a stranger or a relative or someone I've known for a long period of time or a brief acquaintance, and I'll begin to talk about the gospel to them, and I'll hear myself saying stuff, and I'm thinking, where did that come from? How did I know that? I didn't know it, but the Holy Spirit knew. What we speak is from God. You see, you're thinking of sharing the gospel in your own strength. You can't do it in your own strength. That's why we have God. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. He is the power to get it done. Remember the first sermon I talked about? That this gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes? It's the power of God resonating within you, and this world needs to hear it. Pat and I went to a movie. We finally found a movie we didn't walk out on. The last three times we've been in the movies, we walked out. You know, and it's just been, you know, so bad. But we finally found one that we didn't walk out. And the name of it was The Secret of Jonathan Sperry. How many of you have seen that movie? Raise your hand. Go to the movies! You've never even heard of it. I know you didn't hear of it because I had never heard of it. My wife had heard of it. It's a Christian movie. It's playing at the movies in Madisonville. You know the big 16 thing? Go see it. You won't have any trouble getting a seat, but it's a great Christian movie. Let me just tell you briefly the storyline. It's about an elderly gentleman. I love elderly gentlemen. Some of you I'm loving more and more every day. Who has some little kids in the neighborhood that he befriends. And he begins to get them reading their Bible and telling them about Christ. And the whole movie is about the impact this elderly gentleman has on these young children, these young boys. It is a movie worth seeing. You bring a couple of hankies and also bring a loud mega horn to shout joy with, because it is a joyful movie and about the impact that you can have on this world. This world needs us to do something. How do we do it? We do it one precious soul at a time. One precious soul. Do you remember the story about the little boy standing on the seashore who was picking up a starfish that had washed up on the beach and as the tide went out and he was throwing them in the water? And this gentleman saw him doing it and said, boy, what are you doing? He says, I'm putting the starfish back in the water so they won't die. And there were just literally hundreds of them on the beach. And he said, boy, the job is too big for you. You'll never make a difference doing what you're doing. The little boy reached down, picked up a starfish, threw it in the water, said, I made a difference to that one. Made a difference to that one. Just one at a time. One at a time. I think sometimes when we think about the world, it's so big, it's hard for us to comprehend. But just think about the people that you know and the people that need to hear. People in the grocery line, in traffic, of life as you meet people day by day who need to hear the gospel. You know, it's easy sometimes to preach to people you don't know. What do you care? They get mad at you or reject you. You know, I'm so glad the day that I found the Lord, and let me rephrase that. I'm so glad the day the Lord let me find Him. The guy I met was a complete stranger. Never met him before. I was walking out of his house, and he said, let me ask you a question. If you were to die on your way home, would you go to heaven or hell? I didn't even know. He didn't know that the night before I had been up all night asking God to help me. I didn't know who God was. I was just praying and crying for help. And the next day, God put me at the right place at the right time. You don't know who God is preparing for you to talk to the next day. You don't know. And to be prepared. The world needs to know. The world doesn't need another psychiatrist or another philosophy. What it needs is a Savior. That's one of the things we're going to do on the internet as we proceed with this, is we're going to bring the gospel. You know, I got a bunch of great sermons, and we're going to have our sermons out there for those who want them. But our real mission is to bring the gospel of Christ to those, especially young people, who need to hear it. We need to reach our young people. As I told you statistically as I started this series, that those who were 23 and under, only 19% would profess today to know Christ. That's pretty scary. 19%. 19%. Of those that are, I believe it was 16 and under, 4%. 4%. We got a big job ahead of us. But we're only going to do it one precious soul at a time. one precious soul at a time. I want to close with this thought for you. Through the videos that you've seen and what you've heard me say, you are the light of the world. But not only are you the light of the world, you are the only light of the world. The only light. You're the only thing that can break the darkness. The Christ in you can cause the darkness to dissipate. It says that we're the salt of the earth. We're what's preserving the earth right now, preserving the world. Our presence here. And until such time as the Lord takes us out, the world has an opportunity to be saved. But once the church is taken out through the rapture, the only way to become a believer at that point will be through martyrdom, according to the book of Revelation. You're the hope for all mankind. It says that at one time, you too were in the world without God and without hope. Let's do what God has called us to do. Amen? Let's all stand. Next week, God willing, we'll be talking about how we can spread this gospel to the world. What was that? Miss Pat wants to share a testimony.
In the light of what Morris has said in his sermon, I just wanted to share this. When Morris was sharing about the place where he'd worked and how the men one by one began to come to his office and talk to him, and he was able to share the Lord with them. One of the young men that came to him, he was probably the youngest man in the group, and he was just the picture of a young man on his way to success. And he was married to a young woman who was the heir of the Blue Plate Mayonnaise company. And we got to meet her. They had two small children. And she was absolutely as beautiful as he was handsome. And they had these precious, precious children. And Morris was able to lead this young man to the Lord. But what Morris didn't know, that this young woman had come to the Lord herself, and that she was home praying for her husband to receive Christ, and had no idea that there would be a man at the office that would share Christ with her husband. You know, it just works. God has such harmony in what He's doing.
Amen.
Such harmony in what He's doing. We were on vacation one time in Tennessee, and we had gone up to the little area, the lounge part of the hotel, and we were having a cup of coffee, and this young man came in and sat down by close to us, and we struck up a conversation, and we began to witness to him, and during the conversation, this young man looked at me, and he says, "You sound just like my sister," and that had a tremendous impact on me, because at the time, I had been praying for my brother. And I wasn't having much impact on my brother. And the Lord showed me that He had allowed me to witness to someone else's brother. So He would send people to witness to my brother.
Amen.
My brother. So that's what I began to pray. I'd send someone to speak to my brothers that they'll hear.
Amen.
She said, "You sound just like my sister." You know why? Because the story's the same.
Amen.
There's only one gospel.
Amen.
Only one gospel.
Amen.
So let's open our mouth, and the Lord will fill it.
Amen.
Let's open our mouth, and the Lord will fill it. That last scripture just so touched me about that God would tell us what to say, and we will say it as honestly as we can.
Amen.
We can all
Amen.
Do it.
Amen.
Just relax and wait for it to happen.
Amen.
Enjoy it. Be available.
Amen. By the way, that's one of the reasons that we don't charge for anything around here. We give it away. You can't buy anything here. It's all free. Miss Fran. Yes, you can. Come on up here. Y'all not in any hurry, because we're going to have birthday cake in a minute anyway. You got no place to go.
I was just sharing this story with Priscilla last summer. Speaking of being in places where the Lord places you without you even knowing He's doing that. Years ago, I was in Seattle, and I wanted to see my son, Bruce. Thank God he's a recovered alcoholic. At the time, he was going to meetings on Sunday mornings, and the only chance I had to see him that weekend was to attend his meeting. And he said, "Mom, that's my church." He said, "So if you want to see me, that's where I'll be." So I went. And we're sitting there talking, and the meeting starts, and they start, you know, handing the mic to this one, that one, and the other one to give testimony of what they've done that week or how their week went and so on. And this gentleman comes around, and he hands me the microphone. And I went, you want to say, I'm not one of them, you know. But, I mean, I'm visiting. I'm not here because I came to an AA meeting for myself. I mean, you don't know how to respond, you know. And Bruce is sitting across this round table where we were, and he says, Mom, he says, take the mic. And I went, he says, take the mic. And I'm going, oh, my God, literally, oh, my God. And he said, if I'd have told you, you wouldn't have showed up. Because they have everybody talk, whether you're one of them or not. So I said, hello. I said, I'm Bruce's mom. I didn't give my name. I just said, hi, I'm Bruce's mom. They all say, hello, Bruce's mom. And he says, Mom, you got to go stand up there where they were talking earlier. And I went, oh, my God. Again. So here I am with this mic. And about maybe this many people in the room, sitting in different places. And so literally, as I'm walking up to from here where the camera is, I'm talking to the Lord, big time. You know, it's Lord, put words in my mouth. What am I going to say? What am I going to say? I didn't come prepared for anything. So I got up there, and again, it's, hi, my name is Fran. Hello, Fran. And I'm Bruce's mom. And I started talking, not prepared in the least bit, and I remember saying that I am somewhat familiar with your 12-step program. I have a friend who had gone through the program. I had his book, and I had read through some of it. I didn't read the whole book, but I read through some of it, and I was quite familiar with it. And I told him, I said, you know, to my knowledge, I'm not an alcoholic. However, I have other areas in my life where these 12 steps can apply. You don't have to be an alcoholic for these 12 steps to apply. And so I talked about my ups and my downs, my mountains and my valleys, and I said, earlier this morning, I heard people mention God. I've heard people mention Jesus. I said, I've chosen Jesus Christ as my higher power. I said, so what I need to look up and call out, that's who I talk to, you know, and so on and so on and so on. Well, they applauded and everything was fine. And afterwards, everybody came to me and it's like, oh, they just so enjoyed what I had to say. And I'm thinking, I didn't say it. The Lord put the words there because, you know, to speak like this, you need to go prepared. I didn't come here prepared this morning either, but opportunity presents itself. So you need to take advantage of that.
Thank you, Fran. Great test. Thank you, Fran. By the way, I just had a brilliant idea. You're going to love it when I have a brilliant idea. If I were you, I'd make sure I got to church next Sunday because you're going to hear something you most of you have never heard before. No, I'm not going to sing. That would be more than I put on you. What we're going to do next Sunday is we are going to share our Christian testimonies. I'm going to give you a brief sermonette, and then we're going to videotape you sharing your testimony. Don't get camera shy. This is part of where we're going, all right? So we're going to get out of our camera shyness. But I don't want to hear stories about all the great things that God's doing in your life. I want to know how you came to know Christ. Because many of you, I know stories of, and many of you at home. So you're going to have an opportunity to do that. I did this once before at another church that I belong to, and it was to hear the stories are just absolutely astounding. So next week, come prepared to share your testimony. You can be as long or as short as you want. You get too long, Don will just cut you off back there. So it's kind of the hook. It'll be an electrical hook. We'll just turn the mic off. But that'll be fun next week. You want to do that? Yeah. It'll be fun. All right. Yeah. Okay.
Y'all, look what happened here this morning. I mean, just look what happened. God sakes. Nobody was put on the spot. Scripture tells us to be ready in season and out. Be ready in season and out to give reason for the hope that's in us. That's all Fran shared. The reason for the hope that was in her. Mostly what we heard Morris sharing in his sermon this morning really is mostly just sharing the reason for the hope that's in him. Everything we've heard this morning. We have one responsibility. be there. That's it. Be there. And the Spirit will give you the words. Be there and have a willingness to say yes when God gives you the opportunity. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jim. Thank you. Hallelujah. Okay, I haven't let y'all go. We're running a little over, but it's okay. Remember I told you last week we don't have a tell time around here, so just forget about it. But we do have, it is the March baby birthday, first day of the month, all right? So how many March babies do we have here? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. I see seven, eight. Wow, eight March babies. Wow. All right, we're going to sing happy birthday, and then I'm going to dismiss you. Yes. Oh, George's birthday. All right, good. Well, let us sing happy birthday,
Dennis. Sure. Facebook him and let him know. And you can tell him happy birthday on his Facebook, too. He likes Facebook. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, March babies. Happy birthday to you.